I have here at E that in this state I will discover my body to be pure, unadulterated by the dense frequencies and wide oscillations of the so-called material realm. Because we all know that there really isn't a material realm. So it's really just a matter of frequency level. For the substance of this body, my real body, will be spirit. And in this high frequency, it will be a reflection of the divine self, a transparency of the identity of being. You just get this remarkable feeling of being in that pure state. I can hear Mrs. Eddy's echo in here in the first version of Science and Health saying, "And when I am spirit, and when I am soul," you could just feel yourself moving into that place and saying the same things to yourself. "And when I am soul," in this instance, "and when I am the spirit of soul," when that body that I have is pure, unadulterated, free of false symbols, free of low-level frequencies and gross symbologies, just spirit. When that true soulhood of my being is spirit, not matter. So it's a wonderful vision for what I feel in my time frequency is my own ultimate resurrection, my own eventual transparency. Which brings us to the third subject, treated in prayer and epitomized as a recognition that sin is canceled through transformation, and not through prayer as such. You can just feel the old sense of prayer in here saying, "Oh, I pray to be better, I pray to be good, I want to do better next time, I don't want to fall heir to temptation, oh dear God, let me be a better person." But unless one has really been ready and willing to go through the first two stages of the journey, and now to this third one of reformation, it will be difficult for me to not fall heir to temptation the next time. Even if I want to, a superficial sense of prayer, an old-fashioned sense of prayer, won't be enough. In this instance, I have to really wish to transform. I have to really be willing to change. And so I ask here, how malleable am I, really? How willing am I to change, to relinquish the self that I've come to call my own? How willing am I to let go of Maria? If I must alter my frequency level in order to sense only divine transmissions, am I willing to do this? And if to do this means that I have to withdraw from the senses and the psyche, can I? Will I be capable of doing that? Can I withstand their magnetic pull as they distract me and tempt me with their counterfeit signals and symbols. That's really a very big question. Have I gained enough strength in the spirit of soul to withstand the temptation here in the soul of soul? To withstand the distractions of those false symbols as they keep wanting me to identify with them? Will I instead persevere until they're silenced, until those counterfeit signals and symbols are silenced within me, until I can sense and respond only to the transmissions that come from the soul of being? And then, as if that were not enough, will I then be able to lock in to those transmissions, that they may transform my identity, my selfhood, what appears as my body? Can I, in this way, be open to the reformation that I know is required? So right away here, you can see that there's a different standpoint. Do I want to change myself and make myself better in an image that I have conceived would be better, or in an image that someone else has conceived would be better? Or will I be able to be quiet enough to avoid the temptation of all of those outward symbols and signals as they speak to me in one way or another? Will I be able to avoid that magnetism as it seems to confuse me and let soul identify me? Let soul change me. Let soul reform me, transform me. I want to. And I really pray to persist at this until I can, because I know that only then will the ultimate counterfeit symbols dissolve. Only then will those distractions cease and the deception of those lower response levels come to an end. I really pray to be freed from temptation. I want to experience the joy and security of being centered in the divine self, of being identified in its image, and restored to a state of incorporeality. You can just sense how free you would be at that point. And if you can sense that, then you really do want to be in that place with all your heart. You really do want to be malleable enough to change. You really do want to allow soul to come and transform you in accordance with its identity, and not allow another so-called person reform you into their identity or their limited sense of what you should be, but to have the courage really to make that journey within until you're so secure that you can really pick up, you can really lock into and pick up those transmissions from soul and let it change you, let it change me. let it alter me, in accord with its image, with its identity. It's really the soul of being that is giving me this opportunity. For it's always identifying me as I really am. It's doing that, whether I realize it or not, whether I can sense it or not. The soul of being is forever identifying me as part of its own being. It's continually presenting me with my true image, and it won't allow me to be duped by the image I seem to see in my own or another's mirror. The deception of the senses as they look into that mirror and check that mirror for feedback. And you know, we just do that all the time, whether it's something that we do through our corporeal senses when we check the mirror itself to see the image of our being, or whether we check our character by how others think we are, by how others view us, by their image of our identity. We just can't do that anymore. We just have to check with soul. And I don't care how grand we think that other person is. I don't care how spiritual we think they are. I don't care how clear we think they are. If their view of us isn't identical with the view of the divine soul of being, then it's limited. If they don't see me as an incorporeal identity, then it's limited. So therefore, no matter how magnificent they are, no matter how high I hold them in esteem, I must go to a higher source and let that source identify what I am. And let it bring out my true being, my true body, the body of ideas through which my character is comprised, the spiritual qualities that I'm comprised of, the characteristics that it has that I'm comprised of. That soul alone has the capability of identifying me, and the glory is that it's doing it all the time. I just have to sense it. I just have to move into that place, be so still that I can allow it to change me, to alter me, to identify my true character. It will not ultimately allow me to be distracted by the senses or tempted by the false images and symbols that they appear to perceive or feel or sense, but that wonderful soul will ensure the transformation of my senses, of my psyche. It must do that because it is always identifying my true character. It is always identifying that which I really am. And it gives me the ability to change. It gives me this opportunity to reform. Therefore, I can change. I can reform. I have the capacity to do so. I can be liberated from the magnetism that would polarize my soul sense, that would mesmerize it with pleasure or pain. Both are temptations. Both keep me from sensing that which I am. I can be released from the hypnotic spell of the psyche the vibrations that seem to pull me from pole to pole, from symbol to symbol, the emotion that ranges from elation to depression. I can be emancipated, and I will be. Can you envision the proposition there? You know, it's really simple if you look at the little chart. It's simply saying, can I move into the center? Will I move into the center of my being, into that quiet place of stillness where the lure of the poles can't reach me, where pleasure and pain can't reach me, where elation and depression can't reach me, where all of those emotions can't reach me? You can feel there where self-pity can't reach me, or self-righteousness can't reach me. Those are just two ends of the pole of self. They're both the little I that I need to detach from. So neither one is good. Now, neither one is better than the other. What I need to do is move into that quiet center where it's selfless. So that's the whole issue all along. It's really simple, simple, simple. So can I change just has to do with, can I move into the center? Because only in that quiet place will soul be able to identify me. Because if I'm ranging out on the poles, it isn't that soul isn't always identifying me anyway, it is. It's just that I'm not focused on its transmissions. It's as if, symbolically, of course, the transmissions are coming down the center pole. And if I'm out here on the sides, I'm not going to feel them too well. So if I'm swinging from side to side and being thrown by sensation, whether it be physical sensation or mental sensation, then I'm not going to be in that quiet center where the transmissions of soul can reach me, so to speak. I mean, they're reaching the reality of my being all the time. But it's just where I think I am, where I'm sensing that I am. Because you know how mesmeric it is to be in pain. Whether it's physical pain or mental pain, it's very mesmeric. I mean, you can practically think of nothing else. And the only way out is to get so quiet that you withdraw from the sense altogether, to focus on the divine qualities enough and to get so quiet in that sanctuary that the loudness, the noise from those poles doesn't pull at you and mesmerize you. And that happens in the mental realm, you know, when we're talking about self-pity or self-righteousness. It's the same thing. It's just self, self, self in there all the time. It's the little I controlling the scene, and that's just as mesmeric as physical sensation. So, it's really simple. I just have to be willing to make that journey, to go with Moses and make that journey out of Egypt into the promised land. I just have to be willing first to embark on the journey and then to stay with it. Right? To have my affections turned only on soul. And to have them turned there so well that in the soul of soul, I can allow myself to be changed. I can be so malleable, so pliable, that soul can just reform me, remake me in its image. It's not difficult. It's simple. Much more simple than any of us, I think, have ever had a clue. It's incredibly simple. And the big question overall in soul, and will be repeated throughout everything I say today, is, can I be quiet? Can I be still? Can I move into that inner sanctuary? Can I move into the temple? All those wonderful symbols that are used in the Bible, they all mean the same thing. Can I move to that place of absolute stillness within me, where I will sense only soul? And sensing only soul, allow it to reform me, allow it to transform me. You know, as long as I think I can transform myself, as long as I think that I can reform myself, I'm still in the little I. I'm the one that's doing the determining of how I should change. Whether it's a physical change that I'm telling myself I need, or whether it's a mental change I'm telling myself I need, the little I, the little self, Maria is still in there doing the dictating. Maria has to get out. I have to withdraw from Maria. I have to withdraw from everything that makes Maria up, except her real, inner, true selfhood. I have to move away from the noise of the periphery, from the pull, the animal magnetic pull of the physical and mental poles, into the center where it's quiet, and I can be transformed. It's just really that simple. And I, as I said, have here, I can be free. I can be emancipated. And I will be. Eventually, I will be. It's a foregone conclusion that I will be. For I am the same as the selfhood of soul. Its balance, its center point, is really mine. And when I discover it, I'll no longer experience the fluctuation of the poles. Soul will keep me safe in its embrace, calm in the stillness of its temple. There, I will find myself redefined. Every element of my makeup like unto that of being, like unto that of the divine. Isn't that wonderful? It just makes the journey so worthwhile. You can just see that when we have the courage to be still, to be quiet, to move into the center of our being, there, in that quiet, in that temple, we can be identified correctly. Because the soul of being is forever identifying us. Anyway, it's just that then I will be sensing it. And therefore I won't exemplify or objectify a false sense of myself. So, the journey is a worthwhile journey. And the wonderful thing is that along the way, as I move in, even when I'm not quite in the center yet, just as I move in, one can feel that draw of soul. One can feel its transmissions the closer you get into the center. Therefore, they're already having an effect. They're already transforming and translating everything that I am, or everything that I think that I am. They're already dispersing the counterfeit symbols. They're already bringing me to higher symbols, purer symbols, better symbols, the symbols of the seven. They're already allowing me to reduce my identity to those pure symbols, and to focus on those symbols and to adore those symbols until those symbols become so much a part of my being that they transform me into them, because they're not outside of me. So you can see that the soul itself is enforcing that translation, and that as I'm feeling it, as I'm beginning to move into the center, through whatever sense of prayer that I've acquired to be able to be quiet, to be still, that as I move, I start picking up those symbols. And if I'm close enough, then I've been privileged enough to hear that the symbols are the seven. And when I've been that privileged, then I know that I not only have to perceive those symbols, but I have to live with them, tonalize with them, blend them, listen to them all the time, stay in them, let them speak to me until those symbols become my consciousness. And then I just have to live in those symbols of the seven until they really do transform me, until they are my being. So that concept building, tonality building, consciousness building, being building exercise that we have been privileged enough to have given to us is really coming from soul. It's really coming from the place value that we're about to address in soul, the place value of soul as principle. For in that place value, we will begin to hear about the operation of that identity. And so those, that concept building, tonality building, being, consciousness building, being building, is really a principle exercise. But we hear it here in the principle of soul, coming forth from soul, giving us the key to identifying with the modes of operation of soul, with the modes of operation of that identity.